Hello, welcome back to Yeah, But Who Cares?
We back,
baby. We are getting summer ready, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially. Ooh. We're not ready.
No, I'm never ready financially.
No.
Never.
Every time I look at the flight, I'm like, shit.
It's not going down.
Why does it cost so much money to see other members of your own species on different continents? Like, I think that it should be free, right?
It's atrocious. It's really atrocious. Mm-hmm. It really makes me dislike and have a burning hate towards airlines.
Yes.
They're trying to make up for all the money they lost during COVID.
Yes.
It's greedy.
It's greedy. It's giving
greed.
Because
we just want to see our friends.
We just want to see our friends and family and, like, maybe random people that we've never met on the internet, but we're, you know, 90-day fiancé beyond cross-border vibes.
Yeah. I'm really not prepared financially, but I'm going to have to be prepared.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Points. Credit card points.
Ooh, yes. Credit card points. Rack up those points.
Racking up the points.
I just used my points to book a flight.
Oh.
And I only had to pay like $25.
What?
Yeah, I accumulate a lot of points.
What credit card do you have?
I have two travel credit cards, the Chase Sapphire Preferred, and then I have the Amex Platinum.
Okay.
For travel.
For travel. That's an interesting one because those two are like substitutes.
What do you mean substitutes?
Like I have the Delta Amex, and then I have the Chase Sapphire.
Listen, I need a Delta Amex because my American Airlines partnership went away, which means my status went away.
Oh my God.
And first world problems, but it is a struggle sitting in those small seats.
And you're a small girl.
Small girl.
So imagine how we feel. Imagine how we feel.
First world problems. Yeah, it's hard.
My boyfriend has like super, super, super platinum and gifted me the gold status on Delta. And I feel like that's really the nicest thing anyone's ever done to me. How elevated do you feel?
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm like slightly hating right now.
You can hate from outside of the club. You can't even get in.
Wow.
First of all. Second of all, the sense of superiority you get when you're upgraded to like business or first class and you're like
wild
walking down the aisle like I put my little back there
I put my little eye mask on wait, so do I need another travel credit card?
It depends on the fees. We can do a deep dive into points and like the worthiness, but I think Amex Platinum work the fee is $600. Mm-hmm. But I think you get 200 Uber credit, 200 free night stay.
Yeah, you do get there are a lot of perks that come with that card. And the annual membership is definitely worth it, I think, for me, for mm-hmm. as someone who travels a lot. But, girl, I got to figure out this status thing. Because
don't look at me.
I need a boyfriend.
Speaking of which, what are your travel plans? Where are you going?
This summer is going to be slightly more chilled because I did just start a new job, as I mentioned. And so, you know, you got to accrue that PTO. Mm-hmm. But this summer I plan to kind of be situated in New York. I'm going to be doing a lot more local things, but situated in New York for the first part. I'm going to London for work for a couple weeks, which is really exciting.
Pound town.
Yeah. Ring, ring.
Ring, ring.
Ring, ring.
Hello?
London calling.
Hey, girl. Wait, I love how I have this fantasy of going to London this summer and capturing a photo of Pound Town, but using the pound.
Okay. Oh, I like that. You should come with me.
Okay, I will.
But I'm excited for that. That will be work, but I am very, very excited. I might try to like do a weekend escape to the countryside, which will be fun. Yes.
Soho Farmhouse.
Yeah.
It's so amazing.
It's booked when I'm going to be there, but I think I can find another cute,
you should just go for like, the boutique. Day because I did that.
Oh, yeah. At least for the day. There. Okay, yeah. Yes. Definitely got to go for at least the day. The Hamptons.
Woo.
A couple of our friends and I rented a Hamptons house.
Oh my which God.
Which is so unlike me.
That's so
elite. It is so unlike me because I strongly dislike the Hamptons. And this is not a jab to anyone who loves the Hamptons. It's just not my vibe. It's mm-hmm. not for me. I do love like being by the sea, mm-hmm. like the water. I love the food. I love that whole vibe, but mm-hmm. it feels really bro-y. It feels really young, you know, like the fun things that are to do just feels very, it's either like really, really young or it's super like old and posh in a way yeah. that's like not as like warm accessible. And accepting. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So how long are you going for?
We'll be there for 2 weeks.
Wow.
So we have the house for 2 weeks. I'll be like commuting in and out back mm-hmm. and forth and from there back into the office. But yeah, I'm really excited for that. That'll be fun. The only reason I agreed to it is because we have a cute little pool backyard.
Oh my God.
And yes. my friend said that they would prioritize barbecues for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
We love barbecues.
So I don't have to like get bamboozled into going to Surf Lodge or whatever the heck that stuff is.
Yes. Yes.
again, nothing against people that do that. Mm-hmm. That's nothing, your shtick. Yes, yes. Then
go off,
queen. Kings. But so that'll be another thing. And then I'm going to my best friend's bachelorette party in Europe, like in Saint-Tropez.
Wow.
I know. So
you're stacked.
Jam-packed summer, but hopefully on my downtime it will be mm-hmm. chill. Yeah. What about you? Where are you going in your little Delta
school status?
Sky One
seat? Yeah, definitely not Sky
First
One
class.
Status, but I'm going to, where am I going? I'm going to Martha's Vineyard a couple times.
Love.
Which will be fun.
So fun.
I'm going to Europe for a lot of August.
Uh-huh.
I have four more weddings
yeah.
this summer. So
yep.
I have two in Europe, one in LA.
My goodness.
Another one in LA.
My so goodness.
Just... people are getting married.
People are getting married and popping out them babies.
Yes. Well, not that yet, but oh, okay. soon.
My friends are.
Are they really?
Well, my friends from home.
Wow. I have no friends, close friends that are pregnant. That
I
are
don't have any
or
close,
kids
close
have
friends
kids.
That are pregnant. Well, my mom has kids.
You are your mom's kid.
Yeah.
So they're your siblings.
Yeah. I asked your roommate last night how she'd feel about me bringing my little 2-year-old sister to silent disco party, and TBD, we'll see, but I just feel like that will be not as overwhelming for her.
Wait, yeah,
because it'll be silent.
Please.
Yeah, we'll see. Please. But I don't want everyone to bombard her and then she's like
yeah, well, I'll play it cool.
Yeah, she has like audible sensory
overload.
Basically, it's yeah. called something,
yeah.
but it's that, you know, loud sound. She's very sensitive to loud sounds. Mm, so
I will play it hard to get with your little
yeah.
sis.
Yeah, she likes that. You just like walk up and go like this.
And see what she says. Yeah. But yeah, so looks like we have a good summer.
Yeah.
Chill-ish vibe. We'll be still recording.
Yeah, we'll still be recording. My family's also coming to New York this summer. My entire
oh my God.
Family is going to be in New York soon, and I'm not ready for it, but...
Are you overwhelmed?
I'm not overwhelmed, no, but yeah. I'm just saying it's going to be a lot.
Are they coming for a while, or are they just visiting?
Just visiting okay. for a weekend. My godsister is turning 9.
Happy birthday.
And bringing out her 9-10 other friends to New York for her 9th birthday.
Whoa.
Whoa is right.
Whoa. I think for my 9th birthday, I remember, I think I went to the mall.
Oh, yeah. I definitely was at like Mr. Gaddy's.
I don't know what that is. Oh. Is that like the place that like they do your hair and stuff?
No. Mr. Gaddy's is like the... It's like the big like arcade pizza game room. Like
so
you could
fun.
Buy out like a little party room and you have your cake, you bring your presents. But then the biggest room is like all the games and stuff.
I might do that for my birthday next year.
Did you guys have anything like that growing up in Martha's Vineyard? Like
yeah,
Peter
we had
Piper
the game
pizzas?
Room.
Oh, it's called the game room?
We had the game room.
What? Like,
how? It was just like a place where you burn money, basically. Okay.
Yeah. Like you're playing those games all day.
Yes. When I have kids, I'm going to blindfold them when we walk past any amusement park because the amount of times I was like, can I please? I'm just so close. I really want, please. Can I have $20 more? Do you have any solo trips planned this summer or anything you really want to do by yourself?
As of right now, London will be sort of a solo trip for me because I'm going for work. Some of my coworkers will stay behind. Some of them won't. But I will probably, for the most part, be alone-ish on that trip. But other than, and I think London is a totally fine place to do that and enjoy yourself. And there are people that I could like hit up, I'm sure, who live there. And I wouldn't feel totally uncomfortable being in, I would not feel uncomfortable at all being alone in London. But other than that, I don't have any solo trips on the horizon yet. I really want to. I was thinking maybe the Catskills, but you want to know the biggest, unless you're really about that life, solo trips are expensive.
They're so expensive.
They're expensive, especially like if you, like the solo trip I have in mind is so, wow, it's expensive.
Yeah, because you have to share a room and like, you also want to be safe, so you want to be in a safe hotel.
Exactly.
When I travel alone, I'd rather stay in a hotel versus an Airbnb.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So.
And sometimes that can be more expensive, just depending. Yeah.
But
you want to be in a good location.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like close to people and all of that stuff. But speaking of traveling alone.
Yeah.
We got a question around being alone, right?
Yes, yeah. And this, I think this episode we want to talk about being alone because, I mean, this episode is really for us to talk about how to be okay with being alone, how to be comfortable with being alone. I don't necessarily mean being alone, like I'm going to be alone and die alone forever. Like, I just mean like how to be comfortable with operating, moving through life independently, not, you know, constantly like having people around you.
Being single,
dining solo, traveling solo, things like that. I think we came off of a really good episode with Annie, who in her TikToks, she's a TikToker, content creator. She has these solo series on her TikTok where she recaps her dining experiences alone, her solo dining experiences. This girl literally had someone pay for her whole dining experience. And so even whenever I've dined alone, I've had like free glasses of wine or just conversations with my waiter, things like that, that are very, very fun and remind me that, oh, this is something very fun to do. But Annie is my inspiration for continuing to prioritize dining and traveling alone. Solo. Exactly.
And so on top of just physically going to a location alone, mentally, you've always been an independent person. Have you ever struggled with feeling lonely in the sense of being single or feeling lonely even in a sense of potentially like not having a community or like a friend group or anything like that?
I think the biggest time that I felt like that was during COVID when I was struggling mentally with probably a lot of angst around my mom being pregnant, you know, us welcoming my baby sister into our life and our family because, you know, there was some conflict happening between us and our family. And I wasn't living with my family at the time. Like I ended up living by myself during COVID. And of course, you know, COVID was a very angsty period for a lot of people. My mom was very, very strict about us seeing each other. If I had gone outside, if I had gone to a restaurant, I remember I had one of our friends, Colette, come stay with me for, you know, a couple of weeks because I lived alone. And I remember my mom was like, well, now you have to wait a week if you want to see me because we didn't want to risk anything. Yeah. And so that was a period in my life where I was very uncomfortable with being alone, like calling my family, calling my Nana every single day, sobbing, crying. Like I never felt more alone in terms of like community, being so far from my friends, feeling far mentally from my family, not being able to like be with them in person. And that was really, really hard. That was a really hard time in my life. And that's kind of whenever I realized, you know, there are things that I want to prioritize in my life. Like, I want to prioritize my family. I do want to prioritize my friends. And that was also whenever work was taking a very weird toll on me as well. Mm-hmm. And me feeling like I was disconnected and couldn't relate to people in my life because of work. I was like, there's no way people can understand what I'm going through or what I do every day.
Mm-hmm. Is this before you went on the show?
This was right before I went on the show.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that was definitely a driving factor of me being like, fuck it. Like,
yeah.
I'm going on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there was a period of times where I really felt like that. I think now I've had to, since then, it has been very much sensory overload, a lot of information overload. A lot of people have come into my life. I've had really big transitions in my life. And so I can't say that I've felt alone necessarily, but I am definitely being more comfortable with also realizing that I'm more of an introvert now, probably mm-hmm. because of that situation than mm-hmm. anything. So mm-hmm. it's like really prioritizing my independence when I feel like I need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And it's interesting that you feel like you've become more introverted as mm-hmm. a result.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you... What are some of the habits that you're hoping to break in terms of those mental maybe track lines that you tell yourself when you feel lonely? Mm-hmm. And I know you also just got out of a relationship as well. So how does that play a role too?
Yeah. It's funny because I was just talking to a really close friend yesterday. We were catching up. This is my friend who I've known for 10 years, but we catch up kind of like once in a blue moon. But catch up on our lives. And we were talking about, you know, long distance. And a factor that played into my last relationship ending was because of long distance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I can't say that I didn't like the distance. Like, I did not mind the long distance. It's just not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that obviously you want there to be an expiration date, or obviously you want to have had a very solid foundation. But because I operate so independently, it really, really worked for me sometimes. Mm-hmm. There are moments where I'm like, okay, you know, it's time for you to get out of my space now. And I would look forward to now I have that week or that month now where that whole space is just mine, mm-hmm. my own. And I really value that. But I would say since then, it's being comfortable with being uncomfortable in situations. I've put myself in situations that I probably wouldn't have in the past. Like, for example, third wheeling. Third wheeling in college is not fun. I don't remember it being fun.
Well, I think it's because it depends who you're third
wheeling on. Was
it
those like toxic relationship couples and
stuff?
It's
either toxic relationship or they're just like making out in front of you. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, I had a lot. I feel like I've had some couples in college where I was like, third wheeling is not fun. But mm-hmm. now it's just something I really enjoy doing with a lot of my friends. You, your partner, I feel like a lot of my friends are in relationships, and I love kind of like being in their relationships with them as well. Like, you know, I feel like I'm always, always, always at my friend Marcus and Colette's, at our friends Marcus and Colette's house. Like, mm-hmm. we're always doing dinner together. We're always doing this. Sometimes I do wonder, do you think they want to be alone? But they would tell me.
Yeah.
They would tell me.
They would tell you.
Yeah.
For sure.
She would, you be would like, tell me.
Freak. Okay,
it's time
get
to
the
go
fuck
home.
Out.
Yeah. The amount of times I've woken up on all of our friends' couches. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's being comfortable with being like, okay, I'm craving that connectivity. I'm craving that community. And so I'm gonna be in those situations to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love it. Like, I don't mind sleeping on my friend's couch. I don't mind third wheeling. I don't mind doing any of those things. It doesn't make me uncomfortable, but it's me admitting to myself, like, I'm craving that connectivity a little bit. And mm-hmm. so this is what I'm going to do. And I feel like third wheeling can get a bad rep sometimes because people are like, oh, it reminds me of me being single, or it reminds me that I'm lonely or I'm alone. And it doesn't do that for me in the slightest. I think if anything, it probably subconsciously is like, okay, are you going to get in a relationship? because people, you know, talk about engagement, talk about marriage. Like, are you going to do these things? But yeah, I went on a rant. I don't feel like I'm like, I'm so lonely.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's yeah. a good place to be at too.
Yeah.
And I think it takes a lot of self-love, number one. And also it takes not lowering one's standards, because let's be honest, anyone can be in a relationship.
Yeah.
It's really not that hard as long as your standards are low. Right?
Yeah. Yes. And so You're right.
You, the amount of relationships I've seen where the communication isn't there or is inconsistent and someone's just simply not happy because they would rather have a title versus wait and be in a loving, committed relationship.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to think about those two things when you're thinking about your own individual happiness, right?
Right. Lowering your standards, what you're comfortable with doing. Mm-hmm. I also try to not conflate, like, do I not like this because I'm picky or like things a certain way? Mm-hmm. Or do I not like this because it's asking me to accept less than what I will accept? Mm-hmm. Like, I think you have to be able to identify
open-mindedness versus being overly picky.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that can be tough sometimes too, right? Like, I think it involves you being very confident in who you are, your decision making, which is why I think you said this, but it goes into being like very comfortable in those situations of loneliness. And I have, not loneliness, but aloneness. I have friends who we talk about how we just don't leave our apartments, our homes. Like, we love the little like nooks and sanctuaries that we've created that you can just find us on the weekends.
There. Hey.
There. Like, you don't get out. Like, you know, I probably have friends who were probably very, very comfortable with that and are not really seeking anything else at the time. I think it's really easy to find myself in that trap, but that's why, like I said, I try to do those like extroverted solo things, so I'm not like so secluding, like secluding myself.
Mm-hmm. But exactly, getting outside.
Yeah, but I got a DM, and it said, "Question: do you go on dates, or do you just go out with friends or alone? I'm super single, but sometimes when I take myself out, then the ego in me feels meh.
Meh. How'd this feel, meh?
It was." This emotion.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like, would it be crazy to go out to a fine dining alone? Please share.
Do it, girl. Go to your fine dining by your effing self, because you know what? The most annoying thing about fine dining is sometimes who you're with. Sometimes it's good to be silent. Mm. Order exactly what you want. Be luxurious. Really treat yourself because you deserve it.
Ooh.
I love eating out alone. It's my favorite thing.
Wait, what are the perks of eating out alone? Because I have very specific perks of eating out alone, and they're good perks.
Okay. Let me try to think of one before you come up with your well-rounded, good thought-out response. I think the number one perk is...
You said one. You said like two.
Yes, I think it's being able to order exactly what you want and not have to deal with picky eaters and be conflicted with that. I think also it depends what kind of restaurant you're at, but there's nothing like going into a place and sitting at the bar and talking to the bartender at times and like pulling out a book and reading. Like, I remember I was in Brooklyn and I was by you and I FaceTimed you and I was like, oh, I'm here for lunch if you want to come, but like, if not, no worries. And I just made that reservation myself. And I just read and actually chatted with the guy next to me who was like a PhD student and was writing his thesis.
Wow.
And it was really, really just a good, fun thing, and I just had my food. It does suck that you can't get as much food as you want because you can't break the bank, but what are your pros?
I mean, that's definitely one, right? Is being able to order whatever it is that you want. That is the downside to eating out alone, is like my eyes what's that saying whenever you like eat with your stomach?
Oh, your eyes are bigger than your stomach.
My eyes are bigger than my stomach. You know, I see everything on the menu. I was like, oh, I want this, 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 and this. And when I'm alone, I think of all of the reasons why I should have come with a group sometimes to get all of those things. But yeah. It's okay. You start small and it gives me a reason to go back to that place, to mm-hmm. like repeat that place. Mm-hmm. That the bill's cheaper. Every time I eat alone, the bill is cheaper. Even Wait, if you really? Did fine dining, obviously minus without a tasting menu. Going to fine dining with the tasting menu would be probably a little bit difficult, but mm-hmm. it would be the same if you went with someone else because you guys would still have to each order a tasting menu. Mm-hmm. But I do end up spending less when I dine alone. Yeah, I'm like, I'm very small. Like I don't eat a ton.
Oh, yes. Especially with big groups. That sucks.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, I hear you. And if you're not drinking too.
Exactly.
Like I'm never drinking and then I just subsidize everybody's
yes.
wine.
And it can be very, like I said, nice to just be alone in your thoughts. Sometimes I will work, like take the time to answer emails that I was ignoring or putting off, reading, like you said, or just sitting there in pure silence.
Yeah.
Is what I really like.
Yes. So if you see us eating alone, don't add us. Actually, do add us.
Do add us. Do I go on dates? Yeah, yes and no. Not really.
Not really?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really go on dates. No, that, I was telling someone, I'm just at a place where I feel like I always say this. Like I almost sound like a broken record, but I don't really have the want to meet new people and bring them into my life. I think organically is really fun and fine. Like if you're sitting at a dinner eating solo and you're talking to the person next to you, you're talking to the bartender, like that is a really great way to meet somebody new. But even just the thought of putting myself in a situation where I would totally be open to dedicating 1 to 2 to 3 hours of my day to meeting someone who I did not know or did not have a mutual connection with just doesn't feel like
it would serve you right now.
Yeah.
Could
serve me right now.
But
could.
Not right now.
Not right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Mm-hmm. I'll write that down. what else did we want to say?
Well, they also asked if we eat with our friends. I eat with my friends a lot.
Yeah, I eat with my friends a lot.
I'm a big would you consider yourself to be a foodie?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I am obsessed with food.
Obsessed. I'm you have such a great taste, like such a good, like palate as well.
Yes, I love. I went to Omakase for my birthday.
Yeah, where did you go? Can you wait, or do you want to gatekeep it?
I don't want to gatekeep it, but also I like it's gatekept because it was so freaking expensive.
Oh, okay. Okay,
that's the only reason why. Which is why I like to be taken out to Omakase for sure.
Ooh.
But
treat yourself.
Yeah, treat yourself. That's a good place not to go alone.
Oh yeah. Well, I was gonna say I love treating myself at the end of the week with a nice dinner.
Yeah,
like that is the best treat I can mm-hmm. give myself mm-hmm. is a nice dinner.
I think that is. There's always that meme where it's like whenever you see an old person eating alone, you feel bad for them. I used to
feel bad because I used to be, you know, this when I was younger, a lot younger, and I would be at dinner with my mom and be like, how could you, you know, I always thought it was like intentional, like no one wanted to spend time mm-hmm. with them. Not mm-hmm. that it was obviously something that comes with like just self-awareness and growth, I think. Mm-hmm. But I was like, how could no one want to spend time with you? When in reality, that's just not it.
They are sick of everybody.
Yeah.
They're like, get me away from my kids.
They are
my
sick.
Wife, spouse, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think I want to touch back on how to not lower your standards and also how to be fine with being alone.
Yeah.
And times of feeling lonely-ish. There was an experience that I also went through mm-hmm. kind of over COVID as well with some of my friends around like BLM.
Yeah.
And it was really hard because I kind of had to separate myself because of different lack of values, of a difference of opinion when it came to BLM.
Yeah.
And that was an interesting moment because it wasn't being lonely in the sense of being single. It was figuring out how to navigate a group of friends that mm-hmm. you were kind of thinking about if this is something that you identify with their values long term.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that people don't talk about enough, which is cultivating a wide range of people that's values when it comes to don't settle. Mm-hmm. That includes not only your romantic partners, it includes your friends, even at times, sometimes your family as well.
Yeah.
And kind of not wavering and being confident in who you are as a person as you grow and kind of change your mind and opinion on stuff.
Yeah.
And being able to reflect on that.
Yes.
Right.
Well, that's really important. And what ended up coming of that? Did you end up like navigating through that situation? What was the outcome?
I think the outcome was I was starting my nonprofit mm-hmm. around anti-racism mm-hmm. and the people that were kind of on board and on the train came on with me, and some of the people that weren't mm-hmm. kind of weren't on the train.
Yeah.
And I feel like as a person of color, as a Black woman, that was something that was so integral to who I am and how I operate.
Yeah.
And something I just really care about, that it kind of was like, let bygones be got bygones.
Got it.
And got to move on. And I forget what, if this was a podcast or an article I was reading for the first time, I don't think it was a TikTok, but this person said when you're moving on from a relationship, or I think it was like this person was talking about an issue they had with a family member and it was like a very close family member. And they were saying that they were still fighting about something that happened 10 years ago.
Wow.
And you really have to let that shit go.
Yeah.
Because then you're having an argument and you psychologically are moving back 10 years every time you think about it and not letting yourself grow and progress and mature, not only for yourself, but also thinking about the other person who probably is a lot different 10 years later versus when you had the initial breakup or fallout or whatever.
That's important. I've definitely been guilty of that too. I've definitely been very guilty of that. And I think whenever we talk about like lowering our standards, I think that really comes with being very like steadfast in, like you said, your values, who you are, where you're headed, where you want to go. I feel like what comes with not lowering your standards comes a little bit with being comfortable with being uncomfortable. I read something on Instagram that was like, unfortunately, one of those like therapy, like infographics that like I think can be good, but also can have the potential to be slightly harmful as well. But it did say, you know, the most secure people. No, I'm lying. It was an article, actually. It was an article. It said like the 5 habits of people who are very secure with themselves. And one of them was, you are not afraid to say no. Mm-hmm. And you're not afraid to hurt people's feelings, and not necessarily hurt people's feelings intentionally, but whenever it comes to being comfortable with, again, if you know that something is not serving you, or you know that something does not align with your values, and you are practicing that, saying, well, actually, unfortunately, like I can't commit my time to that, or I have another commitment, or I'm not going to be able to make it. That is one of the qualities of a very like mature, like emotionally intelligent person, because they know themselves.
Mm-hmm. And self-respecting too, because you respect your own boundaries.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And I feel like I'm struggling personally with like, okay, how do I not lower my standards? How do I become very comfortable in setting my boundaries? And that's like a big thing that I'm trying to work on this year. But yeah, it's very, very interesting. And that can be, like you said, in friendships, it can be in relationships. And I feel like I'm very comfortable when it comes to not lowering your standards in relationships. Like, I'm very quick and comfortable when I recognize that something is no longer meeting my expectations and serving me. And I'm very quick and okay to be like, well, next. Not next. Well, that came to an end. That ran its course. This is not probably for me. But I struggle more so with that in, like,
friendships,
yeah, and like platonic relationships.
That's really interesting. I kind of agree as well, and
I don't know why.
I think it's because sometimes relationships are so optional. Like, if you're in a romantic relationship,
I'm like another level of commitment to someone.
Yeah, it's like, if this isn't working, we should both move on because no one is requiring this.
Yeah.
Versus friendships are also very much optional, but they're so integral to, I think it depends on the person, but for me, my friendships mean everything to me. And so I don't want to disappoint any of my friends. I want to be there as much as possible. I want to communicate as much as possible. And it depends on the security of the friendship. I have some friendships where, like, the core, where I know no matter what, they'll always be there for me.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a little bit easier to set the boundaries versus even newer relationships or, I don't know, everyone has their history and stuff. Some of those, it's a little bit harder to set boundaries.
Yeah.
But I think what could be a good, like, three-prong way, if this feels very fluffy in terms of setting boundaries, because everybody says set your boundaries, but no one really says how to actually do it, is to really write them down and say how you... First, write down what your boundaries are in your friendships and how you... Not even boundaries, but how you want to feel in your friendships and relationships.
Yeah.
So if you want to feel more included, if you want to feel more, I don't know, like you both are coming up with options of things to do on the weekends, if you want to feel loved, if you want to feel respected. And then you can kind of pinpoint, okay, I feel anxiety or whatever negative emotion comes out of a relationship, you can assess, is this me lowering my boundaries? Is this me getting in my own head and maybe relying on some of the negative interpersonal and interrelationship like patterns that I fall upon? Or is this something that this is like a personality of the other person and they're setting a boundary with me? Like, I think that has also been what I want to do more of, which is getting out of my own pride with other relationships and really putting myself in the other person's shoes. But I mean, we're talking about setting up one's boundaries. So I think that's been super helpful for me as I'm navigating my interpersonal relationships, is really to not only think to myself, I feel anxious, I feel depressed, like all of this stuff. And first of all, I think not saying I feel anxious, I feel depressed, or like more so this situation is making me feel XYZ.
That's
been a really good reframe. And then really thinking like, why?
Why
do I feel asking anxious yourself in this moment? Like, what specifically happened? And do I have control over that? Because most things we have control over.
And a lot of things we don't.
Yes, a lot of things we don't. And that you just have to either remove yourself from the situation or figure out what you're...
Well, the only thing you have control over actually is you. So, yeah, that is... I really like that three-pronged approach.
Thank you.
And I think that's why my therapist is always like, why do you feel this way? Why do you feel that way? Then why do you feel that way? And I'm like, oh, I'm tired of asking why. But writing it down helps very much to identify that why.
Yeah.
I like that.
And I think some of the things can come from also previous being hurt in previous relationships.
And so
not letting that creep in.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was saying. I that's what I meant when I said I feel like I'm constantly working on not bringing, you know, old skeletons and old conflicts and unresolved conflicts into like new relationships and new interpersonal relationships, because I do like I'll if I'm something happens and I'm like triggered by it by any means, I'm like, oh, well, then they're, you know, giving qualities of, you know, this person that was in my life. And then I felt like harmed me or wronged me in any way. So it's really just kind of like starting on a clean slate mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. That is like, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess well, on my way.
Thank you.
That was
you.
A good, really, really good conversation. I like that.
Thank you so much for being here today. what does the queen in Princess Diaries say? What's her name?
Oh, thank you. Wait. Thank you for being here today. Thank you. I mean, I really want to watch that movie again.
It's so good.
Oh, God.
It's such an iconic movie. And good. I think actually we should do a deep psychoanalysis on Princess Diaries. And like, that's the original. Nothing gets me more excited than a good makeover scene.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, that was change crazy. That shit up. I remember that I wanted a makeover so bad. After that, I was giving my cousin makeovers from left and right.
When she was in class and she took down her hair, which also problematic because curly hair is also beautiful. Just because right. you straighten your hair doesn't mean you're yeah. whatever.
Wait, she literally had hair like us and then they straightened it.
And you were like, she was like, you're ugly, disgusting girl, and she was like 16 with curly hairs and like not
yeah eyebrows. Ooh, maybe so. We should not deep dive.
Well, I think that's part of the deep dive.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is
I did that. I walked in class like that as well, and really? Everyone yeah, and everyone was like, whoa. Everyone was like, whoa, who is that? This is like the fourth grade.
What was your first, before we wrap, I'm curious, what was your first conflict with the friend when you were like in grade school? Or even middle school?
Ooh.
Or like a time of bullying or something like that.
Gosh, I really and truly the only thing that I can remember is like as early as high school probably.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think I can remember any conflicts. Bullied? I don't remember being bullied.
Wow, how nice.
And
how
growing up, what do you mean? No one was like pushing me up against a locker.
Yeah, but I think it's there's new age bullying now. I think
well for sure I wasn't, but like what I'm not saying new yeah. age bullying, like what would you have
I think a lot of this stuff when I was growing up, I moved around a lot.
Yeah,
so I had to really create a new
got it.
Like friend group wherever I went. And I was always like the one minority. So I think it was like some microaggressions.
So there were like, microaggressions.
But like versus I don't bullying. Think.
Did
I
someone
think,
literally come up to you and be like, you have a big head and push you?
People said that. They didn't. No physical things ever happened to me. Oh, okay, but definitely okay. things like, why are your lips like that? Why is your hair like that? Blah, 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 blah. You know?
Oh, no. Well, that definitely happened to me, I'm sure.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I told you I used to get into fights with people because they were like, you're black. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm brown.
Yeah.
Like, that was brown. Bullying.
They should. This is why there needs to be CRT.
You know why I got bullied?
Why?
Ooh, I blame my mom because she put those knickknacker balls in my head.
Yeah.
The knocker balls, you know? And people be like, play with it. What is that? Why is your hair so greasy? So my mom used to like drench my head and scalp in grease. I mean, don't get me wrong. My mom always had me looking good.
Yeah.
But it was like, I remember one time I got my hair done and I no joke had 10 ponytails in my head with all the balls and braids and barrettes. Who said that was cute?
I think.
And meanwhile, she let the roomie run around with her hair all wild and stuff. I'm like, you're not going to put a bow in her head? A ponytail?
Is this a gray hair? Oh, no, it's from my sweater. I was really scared. Okay, yes. All for freedom of hair, however it grows out of your hair. And I think that is our one tidbit of the week is wear your hair natural.
It's like, no, you should wear your hair how you want.
Mine, you that can be yours, but mine is where your hair natural.
Your hair is straight.
But don't straighten your hair for special occasions. I know what you mean. Me on my birthday straightening my hair. Okay. Thank you. Goodbye. Love you.